to be back in the Lord's house today. We'll find our scripture today, Psalms chapter number 132. That means you pay attention the whole time. But in Psalms chapter number 132, verse number 1, it says, "Lord, remember David and all of his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come unto the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard it was at Euphrata. We found it in the field of the woods. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, unto thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away in face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If the children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish." I'll ask Ronnie if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, Lord. Just thank you for the opportunity to be back in your house, Lord. Just ask you to be with us as we do that service, Lord. Ask you to be with Brother Adam as he stands before us and preaches, Lord. Have him preach whatever you lay on his heart. Let him have liberty to preach the way he needs to preach, and have it, Lord. Ask you to have us, for us to have an open heart and take it in like it needs to be took in, Lord. Lord, I ask you to continue as we did throughout the first service of this service, Lord, and just thank you for the reading of your word. For it's in Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we ask it. Amen.
You find here in the psalm that we're looking at that it's dealing with David and his thoughts around the ark and getting back to where the Lord would, where the ark was, to where the children of Israel could worship him, and back to a place where they could go and see the ark and be in the midst of it to worship the Lord. Now, as you read the verses, it starts out, I'm not sure who wrote it, if it was David or Solomon. You read different things, different places. But what I do know is that it can be a help to us as far as our worship to the Lord, if we'll follow after some of the things that David has said in these verses. In verse number 1, David would start out, or Solomon, whichever one, it says, "Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob." The first thing that catches our attention in verse number 1 is the word "remember" here. And talking about David and the Lord looking down upon David and his life and taking recognition of him. And when I think about the word "remember," the things that I remember in my life are things that are of great importance and have made an impact on me in some way, shape, or form. The little things I don't pay no attention to, I can forget them tomorrow if they take place. But remembering here means that the Lord has took note of David's life. We look at the life of David. We look and we see that David had failed God time and time again, but David was always coming back to the Lord to serve and worship Him. And right here it's referring to David as somebody that had failed many times, but it says in verse number 2 that he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty God of Jacob. He said he had the desire in his heart to worship the Lord. And when the Lord's looking down, he's not looking at the sinful things that David has done, but he's looking at the things that David has done as far as worshiping the Lord. A lot of people have restraints in their life as far as worship would go and concerning God. And the biggest thing is you look at my life and you look at things that's taking place and how am I ever going to serve and worship God like these others? I'll tell you, the blood was shed to cover up all the sin. It wasn't conditional in what it done. It didn't cover part of my sins. It forgot about the rest, but it covered them all by the cross of Calvary. That's why it's made possible for David to be remembered by the Lord. It's because of the blood that's looking ahead to be applied unto his heart and life. You know why the Lord takes recognition of my life? It's not because of me. It's because of the blood. You know why I can worship the Lord today? It's because of the blood. It's nothing that I've done, nothing that I've accomplished, nothing within me that makes myself good enough for the Lord to look down upon me and find favor. But the blood of Christ has been applied. In verse number 2, he says, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. He's talking about the desires of David's heart in verse number 2. David had a desire to build the house of cedar, or the temple for the ark to spend the rest of its days in order to bring honor and glory to the Lord. That's what this is all about, the psalm is all about. We know that God did not allow David to build that, but it come in Solomon's day, and Solomon done it. Biggest thing we see there is David's desires rubbed off on the next generation coming in. But we see that David had a desire in his heart and an intent in his heart to worship God. As a child of God, there's going to be times that you fail. There's going to be times that you mess up. You're going to sin. That's the life that we're in because we're robed in flesh. But it's not a time to give up on God. If I read the Psalms right and I'm reading it right and I know it from my own life, we serve a God of restoration as well. And David could testify to that. And the intent of David's heart is what mattered unto the Lord. It matters where our heart's at today. That's why the worship ain't taking place the way that it should inside of the house of God, inside of your life and my life like it should. I tell you, worship is not something that just happens at the house of God. But it's something that happens outside of the house of God in my life when I'm yoked up with God the way I'm supposed to be. It's a desire to be close to Him and to bring honor and glory unto His name. Yes. The intent of our heart has got to be right. David would not have continued. There would not be any kind of psalm written after these verses if there had not been the first two, the intent of David's heart being right. What that tells me is my life will not amount to anything for the cause of Christ if my desires are not right to serve Him. My life's going to be worthless and not worth living down here if it's not about serving Him. That's the purpose of you and I, is to bring honor and glory unto His name. He would go on and it begins to describe some things that David is desiring in his heart as far as the ark is concerned. And when I read it, I liken the ark being to the Holy Spirit inside of our heart. Because that's what it is to you and I. We don't have to go see an ark. We don't have to go to the holy hill of Zion to be in the presence of the Lord. But that happened when you and I were saved and the Holy Spirit had dwelt our heart. In verse number 3, he would go and he says, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to mine eyelids. What David's saying in these verses, he said, I'm separated from the ark of God. He said, I feel like I can't worship God. He said, I'm feeling like there's something there that's keeping me from worshiping Him, and that's the ark not being where it's supposed to be. David's got a desire to worship God, but he's saying, I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to do anything inside of myself to give my body the pleasure that it needs until things are set right with God. A lot of people have strayed in that area. I'm guilty of it as well. If things are not right with God, it's okay. We'll deal with it later. That's the mentality that people carry nowadays. Sadly, that's the mentality that Christians carry nowadays. Everybody's guilty of it. You say you're not, you're lying to yourself. That's just how it is. As a child of God, there are times in my life that I've got to prioritize where I'm at with God and make it something that's important to me so that I could get back in fellowship to be able to worship Him. David said, no matter what I've got to give up, he said, if it's some of my favorite things, if it's something that I enjoy doing, but it's keeping me from serving God, whatever it is in my life, I've got to give it up to bring honor and glory to Him. That's a hard thing. Have you ever tried to stay up for hours upon hours upon hours? Our body goes to shutting down. Our body desires sleep. And it's a hard thing to give that up. It's the same way with other things in our life. It may not be something that seems sinful and bad, but if it's preoccupying us from being able to worship God, we've got to get rid of it. We've got to make sure that we're in fellowship with the Lord, no matter what it costs you and I in this walk of life. Verse number 5, it would go on. It says, until I find a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. First thing we see in the verse is he talks about a place. There has to be a place prepared. As I've already said, David was desiring in his heart to prepare a place to bring the temple to, bring the ark to, build the temple to put it in, which the Lord did not allow him to do in his lifetime. But as far as you and I would be concerned, that's a place inside of our heart for the Lord to be. We can be saved and never have a place for the Lord inside of our heart and life. I mean, that's how it is. I can accept the Lord as my Savior, and I can go the rest of my life and never serve Him, not one bit. Never worship Him, never bring honor and glory to His name, but sit on a church pew for the entirety of my life, but never have a place for the Lord. I fear that's a place that a lot of Christians are at today. There's a lot of excuses for it in your life. First of all, there's sin there. Something that separated you from God that needs to be dealt with. It may be that you think that you're not good enough to be able to serve God the way that others can. I want to tell you, there is no shame in any kind of service to God when it comes around the things of God. Inside the house of God, there's going to be no ridicule, no making fun if you're just following and serving God the way that you need to inside of your heart and lives. But when I read the verse, a lot of people would think that they're not good enough to serve God. That's an excuse that a lot of people use. Have you seen my life before the Lord saved me? Have you seen the things that I've done after salvation that keeps me from serving the Lord? It's no excuse when it comes to worshiping and serving God. When I go back and you read about the ark and the things that was done around it, you read about the temple that was prepared, that Solomon had built in all of its glory in order to put the ark in. But you read about when the ark was transported from place to place to move around. It wasn't in a temple. It wasn't in no fancy building, any kind of fancy decoration, but it sat in a tent. And the Lord still helped His people. You know what that tells me? I ain't got to be the best at anything. I've not got to be the best at expounding upon God's Word. I've not got to have the most wisdom. I've not got to have the most understanding. I've not got to have a perfect life. I've just got to let Him dwell inside of my little tent and try to serve Him. I don't know if you know it or not, when you go to reading the Word of God, the times that it seems like the ark was in the tent and it was following around and with the children of Israel, it's when they was the closest to God. They wasn't worried about other things. They was just trying to serve Him. I want to tell you, we need to get our eyes off everything else that's around us. And get our eyes off everything that's hindering me from serving and worshiping God, no matter what it may be, and get my focus back to where it needs to be in this life. And that's on the Lord. That's on serving Him and bringing honor and glory unto His name. Yes. David is saying, I don't care what it takes. He said, Lord, I want to be back in service with You to bring honor and glory to Your name. Verse number 6 and 7. He would talk about looking for the ark, how they found the ark. And in verse number 7, he says, we will go into the tabernacles. We will worship at His footstool. He's seeking the Lord with an intent to worship. A lot of times you and I would put God on the back burner. I'm guilty of it as well, of putting Him back there and just pulling Him out when the hard times come. And our intent is not to worship, but it's to seek God's help in situations. David here, he's not about just pulling God out and bringing the harp back in order for God to do favors for him, in order for God to bless him. But David's truly wanting to thank God and bow at the feet of the Lord to worship him. I shouldn't only call upon God when the days get tough, when it seems like I can't make it on my own. God shouldn't be something that I pull out when it seems like my whole world's falling in. But He needs to be something that's in my life as a daily presence for me just to worship Him and thank Him. Church, we got slack on just thanking God. You say, how do you know? Because we don't worship Him like we should inside the house of God. If we truly got our eyes focused back on Him and how good that He was, our eyes wouldn't be focused on our problems like they are today. Our focus has got in the wrong place. But it goes in verse number 8 through verse number 10. He says, arise, O Lord, unto thy rest, thou in the ark of thy strength. Let the priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. These three verses here, David's expressing that he wants no division between him and the Lord, so that he can serve. He talks about being clothed in righteousness. He's saying, don't let sin hinder me from serving God. Sin is something that will make you take one step away from God and then go on a downhill slide rapidly. It's something that will build in your life. And then David says, turn not away the face of thine anointed. He said, Lord, don't let anything in my life keep me from serving you. He said, don't make it to where you've got to turn your back on me because I'm not worthy to even call upon your name. Because I'm not worthy to bow at your feet. It would be a shame to know that we've got so many things in our life that we've got to deal with before we can ever worship God. That's not how it should be for the child of God. We should be able to worship Him at the drop of a hat. And not have to deal with all other things in life before we're able to do that. David said, don't let anything keep me from serving you. No matter what the cost in verse 3 and 4, I've got to give it up to serve God. That's where I've got to be as a child of God to ever bring honor and glory to His name. Verses 11 and 12, he says, the Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne, if thy children will keep my covenant, if my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. He said, here there's going to be a legacy left behind after David goes off the scene. And he's saying, Lord, he said, he talks about the fruit of thy body set upon the throne. He said, I want the legacy that I'm leaving behind to be one that I've served God and that I've worshiped God and brought honor and glory to His name. David left that behind. You say, how you know that? You look at Solomon's life and what he done. He brought the ark home. He built the temple for the ark. And you and I were to be concerned about what we're leaving behind for the next generation. I'm guilty of a lot of times I'm focused on me. And that's my problem. I've got my eyes on me way too much. And if I can sit on the church pew and feel okay about myself, it don't matter what's going on around me, I'm good. And that's the wrong mentality for the child of God. But so often at times, that's how we come into the house of God. But the times it seems like I've got along with God during the week, nothing special about me, no reason for Him to meet with me, but He sees fit to come down and meet with me during the week, and then I get in the house of God, things are just a little bit different. My focus is not on me, it's not on what's to come in the week ahead, but it's on Him and what I need to do so that I don't hinder this service to bring honor and glory to His name. Worrying about what's coming behind us is a big deal. You say, why is that? Because you know how I know what worship is inside the house of God? You know how I know my priorities lie inside of the house of God? It's because of a generation that's ahead of me that has laid the path, that's beat down the drawers, that's put the footstones down to give me somewhere to walk and a clear path to know where I need to be to serve Him. If I falter, the next generation behind me is going to be further away. We've got to be careful as a church. If you notice when He's talking about in verse 6 and 7, He says, we found it, we will go, and He says, we will worship. He said, this ain't something that's happening all by itself. This is not just David, but He's saying this is a collective effort of some people. Put it in our terms, it's the church. It takes all of us to be able to serve God right. You say, how do you figure that? Well, the way I've got it figured, if everybody in this church wasn't here, and everybody was going the way of the world, and it was me by myself, would I still stand the way that I should? Probably not. You say, what keeps me on track? First, I'm going to be inside the house of God, and I know there's other people serving, and I can draw strength from that. And because of that, I know there's older people that's went ahead of me, and it's already made the path a little bit easier for me to keep going on and serving God. What kind of legacy are we leaving behind? Not just me as an individual, but as this church. Do we appear to the world that we're established in the faith? That we desire to worship Him? That we want to bring honor and glory to His name? Or is this just a routine and a tradition that we're still in? That we ain't give up yet? I'll tell you, it matters. It matters a whole lot. This world's a taking note. The younger generations are taking note. Young people catch on a lot faster than you think. And they see a whole lot more than you think they do. They're not blind. I want to tell you, you want to be serious about serving God. Serious about making sure that you're bringing honor and glory to His name. Verse number 13 through verse number 16, he says, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for His habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have deserved it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. In these verses here, it's telling us that the Lord had desired for Zion to be the place for the resting place for the ark. And He said, when I get to that place, David's already like he's seen Him in the place there. And he says, the Lord said, I will dwell there. And he said, I'm going to bless. He said, I'm going to help. I'm going to make provisions. He said, provide for them, not only spiritually, but physically. And he says, I'll clothe her priest with salvation. If you read verse 16, it says, I'll also clothe the priest with salvation. Verse number 9, it says, let thy priest be clothed with righteousness. He said, I believe what he's saying is when everything's set right with that ark, that there's going to be a growth take place for the nation of Israel spiritually. Now you take that and you put it back in the terms of that being the Holy Spirit in our life. It talks about the Lord has chosen a place. And He has. For the child of God, that's our heart. That's the Holy Spirit that's indwelling you and I. He says He's desired for His habitation. Which means He's desired to be with you and I, have fellowship with you and I. Read the Word of God. It's like we're already up there with Him, sitting around the throne of God. That's the kind of desires He has to be with you and I. And He says, my resting place forever. You know what He's telling us? He said there's a never ending to that salvation that He's given us. That blood's not going to be wiped away. It's not going to be taken out of our heart and our life because of anything. So because of that, there needs to be a never ending worship inside of our heart and our life. When we're fellowship with God because of the blood, it's telling us in verse 15 that He'll provide for our provisions. Spiritually speaking, He's going to give us the strength that we need to get through. What I've experienced in my life is in the trials that I go into, where I have not been close to God before I get into them, I struggle a whole lot more. It's just my focus was not right, and it seems like at those points in time you can't get a hold of God. Seems like He's not around. You say, what He said? I'm saying, make sure you're where you need to be with God, no matter what arises in your life. And He says, I will satisfy the poor with bread. He's going to make sure all of our needs are met as a child of God. Not our wants, but our needs. He's telling David, I'll take care of them. And then He's saying, once that's right, He said, there's going to be some growth take place. There has to be salvation. There has to be a right intent of our heart for this church to ever grow in the grace and knowledge of God. We look for souls to be saved. We look for people to get closer unto God. We look for people to get to a place so they can worship God. But until I'm right, there's other people that it's going to hinder from getting closer unto God. It's an evaluation of myself. It seems like every time that I've got to teach or got to be up here, it's got to be on a personal level before this church can go anywhere. People, it's serious. And the time and the age that we're living in.
Yes.
I wonder where you're actually standing with God. Where's your focus actually at in your life? Is it all on Him? But He would go on in the next verses. In verse 17, He says, "There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed." He said, "I'm going to bless him because he's serving me." And in verse number 18, He says, "His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish." Verse number 18, you'll know what it tells me. Just because you're a child of God don't mean it's going to be an easy ride. He said, David's going to have enemies. And he said, "I'm going to take care of all those enemies." It's telling me that just because I'm serving God does not mean I'm going to escape the trials and tribulations of this life. It does not mean that I'm not going to struggle. It does not mean that I'm not going to hurt. Because as a child of God, you will. But David's saying it's going to be worth it. I believe they're looking back on David's life and David's pointing out and he's saying it's worth everything that I've been through just to serve Him. I'm going to tell you, my focus has got a little bit off at times in my life. When I get to the house of God, sometimes you sit there not wondering why you even wondering what's the point of maybe even being here in the house of God. But when my focus is on the things of God, I like to read in Revelations about when we're going home to be with Him. Well, my focus is on that. And my focus is on the cross of Calvary of what He's done. And my focus is on how He's blessed me throughout my life. My problems don't seem near as big. The valleys don't seem near as deep and dark. And I'll tell you, it just seems a whole lot easier to get inside of the house of God and worship.
Yes.
I'll tell you, church, it's important. And the way that we live our lives on a daily basis. Not here inside the house of God, but just on a daily basis for you and I. I wonder what it would be like if we took everything in your life and flashed it up on the wall for everybody to see. How much shame it would bring to me, how much shame it would probably bring to you. I want to tell you, that's what God sees. That's what He's looking at in our life. I would hate to know how God views me compared to how I view myself. Thinking I'm a lot farther down the road a lot of times than I really am. Thinking I've achieved a lot more spiritually than I really have. I want to tell you, church, we've got to be careful. Careful about how we walk. Careful about how we worship. Because believe it or not, you're leaving a legacy behind. Whether it's good or bad, you're leaving it. I want to tell you, church, I want to encourage you to keep serving and worshiping Him. To bring honor and glory to His name. I'll have them come around and play one verse. I don't know what the need may be in your heart. If it needs to be that you try to draw closer unto God just to be able to worship Him a little bit better. But whatever it may be, I ask that you would settle it with the Lord. You don't have to come around the altar. I know how it is. Just in your heart between you and God.